Well, it's great to have this chance. I haven't had a year off to now get up again and start speaking to folk.
I've had a year off.
Yeah, well, you'll need one at some point, I'm sure. I'm sure you will. Quite often, when you get to speak, it's good when you know the rest of the morning's been in keeping with what you want to talk about. Whereas this has got to the point of sort of scary in a good way, yeah. There's an item on the news this morning about someone who's lost their memory stick and has had all the stuff with the... It's like my talk's memory stick had been stolen during the week and the songs are just bang on. So I'm listening to the first song and it's, oh, that's good, yeah, it's in there. And then when the new one's on, it's like, you know. So it's great. So like I say, what I'm going to talk about... It's a message for all of us, but it is very much also a message for those who don't even know Jesus yet. And it's the answer to one of life's big questions, okay? So I thought we'd go in something like, so let's test the technology. So the question is, what is God's plan for my life? Okay, so that's the question that we're going to look at. So... it may be that, you know, people who don't know Christ don't even know that there is a plan for their life. It may be that if you're seeking or you're a new Christian, you might think, well, I know God's got a plan for my life. The trouble is I don't know what it is. Yeah. And for some of us who've been Christians for longer, think, yeah, I know what it is. And we think it's this ministry, it's these things I do. And so for those, what I want to do is widen out maybe what you perceive let's say what God's plan is for your life. And for some, you'll go, now I know what all this is, and you can just celebrate and remind yourself through the rest of the talk. So this is where we go, well, what is it? Okay, so we have a drum roll and a fanfare of trumpets. All right. So this is a scary bit for me, okay? So God's plan for our lives, what is it? To receive the love of God and to give the love of God. Yeah? So I should have a little look about that in a minute. That's really what the talk's about, is these two things that we want to understand. And it may be that different people, when you see that, may react to it in different ways. You know, if you're really good and you're better than me, you're already there at the wow. You've gone from your fanfare to your sort of crescendo, your finale of your song. If you're like me, you normally go, yep, I get that. Need more information. And, you know, I'll get there come the end of the talk. But I wonder if there's some folks, maybe when we tell them that, I go, oh, is that all? Okay? And maybe if you did, is that the right reaction to about this subject of God's love when we think how great it is? Because this purpose is actually God's eternal purpose for all our lives, all the time. It's all-encompassing. Okay? It's from now, your past, your present, and actually, even into eternity, this will always be God's purpose for your life and for our lives, yeah? And it encompasses every single aspect of our life, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Everything needs to be encompassed by this. So the aim in the talk is for us all to get to wherever we were, whether it's oh dear or keep going, or you're already at the wow. We want to all get to the wow end where we're all amazed by this. And I think, like I say, a lot of the songs, we talked about that. One of the new song in the chorus where I'm going, it is, you know, help us to have that wonder about the love of God. And then Dave, when he's sharing about communion, he's talking about it in terms of love. So that's why, you know, I'm sort of going, phew, this talk is what God wants us to really nail in today. So, when you get asked to do talks or when you do a Bible study, quite often one of the things you'll do is, depending if you're a book person or you're an online person, is you will look up the words that you're going to talk about, yeah? So, for instance, if we were going to talk about, say, a pastor, you could do a word search on the word pastor or look in a concordance and it would come up what? Okay, that word. Or if you were looking up Christian, it might come up three times, okay, if you're just looking for the strict word. Now, you can do a context search, and obviously you'll get lots more for both of those subjects and many, many more. So, how many times do you think the word love comes up? I shall tell you. Okay, I'm going to ask you lots of rhetorical questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, A lot is the answer. It comes up a lot. Yeah. And you. Yeah, I've gone through and counted them all. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff we could look at, and we are going to look at quite a lot of Bible verses today. So if you want to click on or get your Bibles out, you will need them. Although all the verses will be up on the screen as well. Now, when we're talking about God's love, even though there's lots that I've picked out and lots to choose from, I could actually state that the entire Bible is actually about this. It's about God expressing his love. Okay, it's about his desire to have a people that are loving, and unfortunately, a lot of the time, people's failure to receive it and a failure to be loving towards each other. So there's the entire Bible that we could look at, but we're not going to read the whole thing because we haven't got time. Okay, although you can do that at some point, it's always good to do that. And it's not surprising that we could look at the whole Bible. And there's a reason for that, is there's this verse in 1 John 4, chapter 4, and in verses 8, and in verses 16, it explicitly says, God is love. Okay? Part of God's nature is the fact that he is loving. And he will be eternally loving as well, okay? So he was loving before he created the universe. When he created the universe, he's loving now, and he always will be loving into eternity. It's his character. He cannot act in a way that isn't loving. God is always true to himself. Everything he does is loving. So that's why, you know, you could say everything in the Bible is about an expression of God's love. But before we go any further, I'm aware that this concept of love has been used and abused through history. Yeah, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to take something of God and he likes to twist it and mess it up, okay? And a lot of us, if not everybody, at some point will have experienced where somebody has probably twisted this word, you know, oh, well, if you love me, you'd do this, or you wouldn't do that. You know, I'm only doing this to you because I love you. And, you know, people have had terrible things done to them. So sometimes when we're thinking about this subject and we've been singing about it, for some there's a little bit of a, what does that mean? Because I've been let down before, you know, it makes me vulnerable. So what I want to do is really explore this for the next few minutes. Before we go on, what does this love look like? What is God's love about? Okay, so the talk's got 2 points, not three. Oh, but each point has 3 sub-points. Three. So we're back on target, okay? Right, so, like I say, it can be used and abused and misunderstood. So I'm going to quote from Paul and John, but also Ringo and George, okay? Where there was this song, All You Need Is Love. And love is all you need, okay? Where this sort of spawned, you know, this sort of free love movement back in the 60s, was it? I don't know, yes. Yeah, okay, so this happened. So, you know, everything was okay, you know, all goes, let's all just have a good time, okay? So it's not that, you know, and love is important. We do need it. It's not all we need, but it is vital to actually live the life that God calls us to live, this 10 out of 10 life in abundance, okay? Otherwise, we're just existing. So sometimes it's been misused, and you get these crazy little cults pop up where there's this charismatic leader, and after a while, you know, he has all his little wifelets and stuff like that. So it's really, really important that we understand what this love is, that God is, and he wants us to receive and then to give out to others. So, why it's so difficult to explain is in English, we use this word love for lots of things. It's got a massive, massive sense of meaning, isn't it? So, I love the cakes. I love my wife. Okay? I love you guys. I love a certain type of music. I love Star Wars. I love God. You know, we use that word in all these different ways, but we know within us that they can't all be the same, surely. You know, so how can we divide it up? Now, help is at hand, because as I'm sure most of you will know, if not all, the Bible was not written in English. Yeah, not even 16th century English, okay? The New Testament is written in Greek, and the Old Testament is mostly written in Hebrew, with a little bit of Aramaic in there as well, okay? And those languages don't use one word for love. They chop it up in different ways. And those different ways give us an insight into the different aspects that love is. So we're going to have a little quiz. Again, we'll do it rhetorically. Who wants to be a millionaire? Fortunately, the colour scheme matches. It's great. Okay, so your million-dollar question would be, what are the words for love does the New Testament use, okay? So there are four words that we're going to look at, and we can see which one it might be when we talk about God is love. So there's eros, okay? What are you thinking? Six, Ken, are you? It looks like he's got six Greek words for me. We'll talk about that after. So eros is where we get the word erotic from. So you can guess what kind of love that's talking about. I'll leave that there. There's another word, philia, which is sort of friendship or, you know, brotherly love, sisterly love, you know, with your mates and that kind of stuff. So there's that one. There's storge, which is like natural love that you get within a family. And then there's this word agape, okay, which is unconditional love, which has nothing to do with the person who's receiving the love. It's all to do with the giver. It's unconditional. It's about doing people good. So when we say God is love and all the other verses that we're going to look at, which ones of these could it be? So computer, take away two wrong answers. Okay, that's what they do. It's just a bloke, isn't it? Okay, so is it philia?
Phone a friend.
Phone a friend, yeah. Ask the audience. Like I say, we do it rhetorically. So, you know, when God says he loves us, is it as a friend or is it this agape, this unconditional love? So if you would have said philia, you would have lost all your money. It's agape, okay? So when it says God loves us, and when he asks us to love others, he's asking us to love unconditionally, all to do with doing good to the other person. That's what he wants to do to us. He wants to be kind. He wants to be loving towards us. He wants the best for us. So, now, there is a definition that we can also find in the Bible. You're probably already thinking what it is. Quite often this is read at weddings. And interestingly, it comes in amongst when it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So it also sort of leads into maybe where we're going at some point when we're doing these Holy Spirit evenings. And it's this one. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, it says, love, so this is this agape, is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And like I say, it's eternally true. So a little bit further down in verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that's what God wants for us. Okay, that's what he wants to experience. That's what he wants to pour out into our lives. So the first of the points and the first sub-points of the three that I want us to get into our head is that God loves you. Okay? So who loves us makes a difference to how we take in this love and how important it is, okay? So I was chatting to Jane earlier about our cat. So we were saying our cat loves us, okay? So it would come up and purr and all that kind of thing. But that's only as long as I feed it, give it somewhere nice to warm and rub his belly, isn't it, okay? And also, I wouldn't want to rest my self-esteem and my worth on the love of my cat, okay? So who loves us makes a really big difference. Now, psychologically, we know that this is the case, okay? To get that self-esteem, to be able to have that rest that we were talking about, that Helen's word was last week, and contentment that that word you gave the other week, is all about resting in who it is that loves us. Now, some people have dreams. If they're feeling they're not loved, they have dreams about where somebody comes along and affirms them. And depending through sort of the last sort of probably 100 years ago when it's been sort of media and TV, that person changes. So who do you think it is that people dream about now? when they're, like I say, seeking some affirmation? It's Simon Cowell, believe it or not. Because, not because of him, but because of, they. You know where these shows where he says, yes, that's three yeses. Okay, so it's a symbol of acceptance. And people go nuts, don't they? When they get approval from these guys, they react like that, okay? So, you know, when we were reflecting about our reaction to when God loves us, because we're British, it's all going on inside, isn't it? Okay? That's got out. Okay? So that's where we need to get to, because God always says yes, okay? You don't have to be a great singer or a great performer. That's the only reason Simon Cowell, not being negative against him, but that's why he's affirming these people, because you're good at doing something, okay? God doesn't do that. He loves because of who he is. So we really want to nail down and really get this into us, that God is the one that loves us. There's a picture of a piece of sky with the universe. So in there are, you know, probably billions of galaxies within those billions of stars. So the God who created that and sustains it, the God who walked with Adam and Eve, called Abraham out of Ur, as we looked at, tried to relate with Israel, led them out of Egypt, worked through the prophets, came to earth as a man, died, was raised again, built the church, poured out the Holy Spirit, done all those miracles, and who's going to one day come back again. He's the one that loves us. That's where we need to get our rest and our contentment from. The second point, that God loves us, is that God loves you. He really, really does. Honestly. Okay? He's not indifferent to you. He's not an old man in a cloud waiting to smite you. You know? Sometimes we think he just loves smiting. Okay? He's not. He wants to love you. That's primarily what he wants to do. And I know it so because the Bible tells me so. To quote a song. And ultimately, as we've remembered in communion today, and as Dave was saying, the ultimate expression of that is the fact that he died for us. So in 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And sometimes, even when... let's just go on to that one first as well. Okay, so sometimes, even if we're being disciplined, it's still being done from a position of love, okay? So there's this verse in Hebrews, verse 12, starting halfway through verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Just like if we're a parent, when we tell our kids off or we put them on the naughty step, we're not doing it because we've lost our temper. Well, hopefully not. We should be doing because we know there's something that they need to stop doing. There's something to learn because we want them to grow into really great people. You know, people that can love others and be a value to society and all that kind of thing. And that's why God does that. Right. That's the first point. God loves. Third point, just in case you couldn't figure it out. You! Okay? He really, really does. He really, really does love you. Sometimes we can think that, okay, he loves other people, but he's not really bothered about me. I'm nothing special. Or, yeah, he loves me in a kind of general way. But he doesn't. He loves you just as much as he loves anybody else, okay? He doesn't love Richard anymore. Or any less than anybody else in this room or outside the room. And again, I know it's true because the Bible tells me so. Okay, and the very, very famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay, it doesn't say for God so loved the world except Rod. Okay. And it says, whoever believes in him. It doesn't say whoever except for Rod. Okay? And that's the same for you. You can put your name in there. Okay? You're included in that. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we, you're included in that. Us, you're included for that. God loves you and me individually with everything that he's got. Right. Where am I? Right, okay. So, like I say, there is a message for those that don't even know him as well. So God is constantly pouring out his love, like the sun, okay? So Matthew 5, halfway verse 45, it says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the only question is whether we receive that love, okay? So it's like the sun shining outside of a house. You can keep the curtains shut, if you like, and not allow the light in, so people can choose not to accept the love of God. But he's still shining, he's still pouring out his love. Of course, what he wants is for us to open the curtains. He wants us to accept his love, to let him come into our lives. So that's what he wants, not partially, but fully, to let it come in so that we can live that life that he's called us to. And how do we do that? So in John 1:12 it says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, but of a husband's will, but born of God. So all we need to do to accept this love is when we confess our sins and ask Christ into our lives. Part of that, we will then receive God's love and experience it and the work of that in our lives. And the other great news is that will never end. Okay, nothing can then stop that. That's another thing that we need. If we want to rest and be content in this position of being loved by God, we need to know that. So Romans 8:38, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. Yeah? Rest. So let's just start to think about now from receiving to this idea of then having to give out Christ's love. Okay? Where am I? Page 4. So let's just read this one. So 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. That's what we read earlier. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. And he has given this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Okay, so we might feel, oh no, that's going to be really difficult to do that, you know, and we think we're going to do it in our own efforts, but it's not like that, okay? One of the other things that happens when we become a Christian is that God puts his Holy Spirit in us, yeah? He comes and lives in us. It's a bit like the lamp. So there's like a New Testament oil lamp. And when you light a lamp, what you do is you've already got a fire somewhere, a flame, and you come and you light the other lamp. You take something from it, and that then shines it out, okay? So when God says, for instance, you are the light of the world, he's not saying like you're a mirror. So it's not a superficial thing where we're just reflecting God off our surface. We're having to sort of try and make it like it. We're like a lamp, okay? So God's Holy Spirit comes in, and then it works within us to set us on fire so that we then love out, okay? Because we don't want to love in our own strength, okay? One of the things that the Bible talks about is our two natures. So we've got our human nature, the flesh, that we can act out of. So that's if I'm in a good mood, that's all good. If I'm grumpy, I've had a bad day at work, you're not going to get a very good sort of deal out of me if I act out of my own self, okay? I must always try and act out of God's love and through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we know how important it is, and it's vital, because there's no point thinking about doing stuff if we're not doing it in love. In fact, it's a waste of time. So this verse, sometimes if people are going on mission trips and stuff like this, is one of the ones that's good to read before you go out and kill each other when you're out there for 2 weeks on your own. Not that you did, I'm just talking about other trips. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13, 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move the mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Okay? Because, like I say, we're not earning anything from it. We don't want it to be superficial. Everything we do must be done in love. Again, we've got help. We've talked about the Holy Spirit within us. One of the things is the fruit. Singular, Ken. Because you get me. Don't ever say fruits. Never say fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit. As we know, there's this passage in Galatians chapter 5. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what it starts with. And it's joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Love is a starting point. These other things are sort of contained within love, I would say. It's like the flesh. So we've got a pear there. If you imagine the flesh of a pear is the love, and all the other aspects of the fruit reside within that. And there's a similar passage in another book in Colossians verse 3. It says that. It says, starting from verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And again, there's all those aspects of what love is. That's what God wants to pour out into us, and he wants us to show to others. So that's the second point, and we're starting to look at the three subpoints on that. So once we're set alight by the Holy Spirit, and this love starts to be given out, the first thing is that we love God. That's where we start, okay? Someone asked Jesus about this. What was the most important thing? What was the greatest commandment? So Matthew 22, verse 36, he said, teacher, which is the greatest command in the law? So having realized who God is, what do you want me to do? And the answer is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Basically saying, everything that you've got, you must direct now towards God. There's lots of words in this verse that are used in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, slightly different versions on it. But basically, it's everything you are, your whole person, direct your life towards God. So what would that look like in some practical ways? Well, what we were doing this morning, praise and worship. Tell God you love him. Yeah, we like that, don't we? We like to be told that we love, so we should tell God. So Psalm 18:1, I love you, Lord, my strength. Okay, that's where that song got that phrase from. Prayer says in Matthew 6:9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when we spend time with God, because again, that's what you'd expect to do with someone that you love, we start our prayers off with adoration. That's the best way to do it. Before we ask, and asking is great, there's nothing wrong with it, but we should start in adoration. Oh, Communion, fancy that, Dave. Yeah, as an expression, it's a way of celebrating God's love. When we take communion, we're accepting it, we're showing that, and we're giving it back by doing what Jesus asked us to do. And other things, you know, things that we see Jesus doing, that's what he's expecting us to do. Just like he did what the Father wanted him to do, he said the things that his Father said, so we should do the same. And it's not an exhaustive list, but I want to also include in there, tell other people how great he is. If you love someone, you don't normally keep it a secret. Normally you're telling folks how great he is. So let's do that as well. Second direction, love others, okay? So we love God, and then we love others. And again, we've been hearing about that this morning. And that is the second greatest commandment as well. So answering that question, the next verse in Matthew 22, it says, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All of the law and of the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's what God calls us to do. Now that can seem quite a scary thing, because there's a lot of others, aren't there? Yeah, loving God, yeah, that's quite simple, and I know where they are. But loving others. So if we're married, there's our spouses. How do I talk to my wife? How do I iron my husband's trousers or shirts? Is it slapdash, or am I doing it in a loving way? There's my natural family. Again, am I ignoring my kids? Am I shouting at them all the time, or am I trying to nurture them to be the best they can be? Church family. One of the things that Jesus said is that they'll know that you're my disciples because of the way you love each other. And again, we shouldn't have anybody who's in such need that they can't eat, and there's other of us that are you know, well off. We should never get into that situation. We should be making sure we are a place like that, and I think we are. Yeah, you know. Are there things that need doing in the church? If it's something that we can do, we should be doing it. Colleagues at work. Again, do we shut off when we go into the office on a Monday, or the shops, or wherever we our work is, and ignore people and just get on with our tasks? Or are we there? Are we open to being involved in what people's lives are? Are we praying for the situations that they're in? The general public. Again, are we oblivious to that? Do we walk around with our eyes shut? Or are we open, seeing what's going on? And then there's the rest of the world. Now, that can seem a bit daunting, especially when we get to the rest of the world part. And sometimes we have got a real burden, and that's good, but we mustn't let it get to a place where we're worrying and we're not in a restful place. Because God isn't calling each one of us individually to meet the needs of the entire world, okay? That's not what God's purpose is. What God's purpose is each day we will encounter people, and all those encounters should be encounters of love. Amen. Yeah? And so we can see what that looks like. So in Jesus' life, Jesus knew what his main mission was, you know, to preach the good news and that kind of thing. But as he was going around, if there was a need, he would go and meet it. So it talked about, for instance, when Jesus... when he was talking, he crossed over the boat there, seeing all the crowds. This is Matthew 14, starting at verse 13, if you're on the podcast. But when he landed and he saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them. And he healed those who were ill. And again, when you read the Gospels, quite often you'll see this. Yep, Jesus has got a plan. He knows what his job is, and he knows ultimately that he's going to be going to the cross. But he would have these encounters, and he would stop, and he would engage with those people. And that's what we should be doing each day. Okay? We don't have to strive. God will bring that about. And Jesus told that story to someone who was asking him about that. So when he said, love your neighbour, someone said, well, what does that mean? Who's my neighbour? And I won't read it, but in Luke 10, starting from verse 30, there's the well-known story of the Good Samaritan. So this Samaritan was off somewhere. He didn't go out looking to find someone who'd been beaten up that day. But there he was, and he knew he was in a position to help. So as we go around our day, that's what we should be looking for, those opportunities. Right, there's one final love, one final direction that I want to talk about, and it's from that same verse. So love your neighbour as yourself. So who's the other direction? Yourself. Okay. Now, I want to jump straight in there and say it's not in a negative way, because there is a negative way that you can love yourself. And in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about this. So you can love yourself in a bad way, where you can be like one of these sort of diva pop stars or movie stars, and it's all just about me, I don't care about anyone else, and all that kind of stuff. So that's the negative. So that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to look after ourselves to make sure we're not going to burn out, we're not going to make ourselves ill. And ultimately, even if you want to look at it in a sacrificial sense, if we do that, we won't be in a position to help others. And it's quite common, Christians, because it is a sacrificial life, sometimes we can get it a little bit wrong and we can overdo it where we start struggling ourselves. So one of the little tests you can do is you can just flip this around and you can say, love myself as I'm loving others. So I wouldn't expect everyone to be out every single night of the week, staying up, only getting 4 hours sleep. So if I wouldn't expect them to do it, I shouldn't be doing that to myself, because I wouldn't do it to them, because it's going to make them ill. So we can do that little test ourselves. God's given us a body. He's given us the way it works. So we should look after it and look after ourselves so that we can feel loved, but also we can give love out, but just to be the people that we're called to be as well. So, as we were talking about last week, we should be resting. Helen, again, reminded us of this principle of the Sabbath. So it was Exodus 34:21 up on the screen. It says, 6 days, but you must rest, even when it's ploughing and harvest season. You still got to rest, okay? Now, there may be short periods, like, for instance, when you've just been off to Africa for 2 weeks, where you have 2 weeks where you don't do that, and that's fine, but you can't live like that all the time. You'll just wreck yourself. Should look after yourself. So Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, he said, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness, okay? Yes, everybody loves that verse. Everyone loves that one. But it's about looking after yourself physically. So we should be doing things that are good for us physically, mentally, and spiritually, okay? That's a duty, and that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want those things to suffer. So, what is God's plan for my life? To receive that love of God, and then each day to give it out, okay? So you can give yourself a little bit of homework if you want to do this for the next few weeks. Is when you get up in the morning, the first conscious thought you have, try and make it something like, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you that you love me. I want to receive that and do all that I can, Lord, to show others that you love them. Or in your own words. Don't take long, but just start yourself off reminding yourself what the purpose is for your day and every other day after that. So I'll leave you that thought. So what I thought we'd do just at the end, all together, as you've been sitting down so well, is if we stand up and we will proclaim God's love. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 136. So if I read out the bits that aren't in italics, and then we'll all read out the pieces in italics together, yeah? Shall we have a go at that? Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone who does great works. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. who remembered us in our low esteem. His love endures forever and freed us from our enemies. His love endured forever. He gives good food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen.